This is Peggy Van Skoik. Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2009. I'm in the home of Wayne and Jean Mitchell. And they're going to tell us today about their lives in Cary and about Mitchell's Pharmacy that they ran for many, many years in downtown Cary. So, well, first of all, can you tell me, were you born here, or where were you born?
I was born in Franklin County.
Oh, okay.
Near Zebulon.
Okay.
So not far from here.
No.
And
Jean
was born in Haywood County, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Waynesville.
Waynesville, okay.
So we're both North Carolinians, born and bred.
Okay.
Not many of us around.
No, that's for sure. So what brought you to Cary?
We were in partnership with another pharmacist in LaGrange, North Carolina, in a drugstore.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it was sort of tough to make it profitable for two families. So one of us needed to go somewhere else. And so we split up, and the store that we bought in Cary became available because the owner, Kenneth Franklin, died about 6 months before we purchased it. His wife ran it with the help of a part-time pharmacist running the store for about 6 months.
Okay.
So on September the 1st, 1956, we purchased it and ran it until July the 1st of 1993.
Wow. Wow. So you got here
in the same location.
In the very same location. So when you arrived here, Henry Adams was running the other drugstore, is that right?
That's right. Henry Adams was running Adams Drug Store.
Okay.
Which is now Ashworks. That was about 6 months after we purchased this store. The name of it was Franklin's Carolina Pharmacy, the one we purchased, owned by Kenneth Franklin, who died, and his wife ran it for 6 months. We purchased it from her September the 1st, 1956.
Wow.
And Ashworth purchased Adams Drug Store in the spring of 1957, about 6 months later, after we did. So we were close in the length of time that we had been.
Yeah, you bet. Right.
They were both North Carolina graduates.
Oh, see.
At Chapel Hill in the pharmacy department.
Oh, right. Came out of the same school.
Yeah.
Yeah?
No kidding.
So now, was Cary big enough for two pharmacies?
Oh, yes. I'd say barely, because we didn't get rich, but we were able to survive, and at the end of 37 years, we were able to retire and have been getting by with the help of, saving a little bit during that time.
There were 2,500 people in Cary when we moved here.
20?
So everybody knew everybody. And that little section downtown from just those two blocks almost were Cary. We had a grocery store and who had the appliance?
Adams had the appliance.
No, Henry Adams. Yeah, Adams and also
Hobby.
Hobby, Glenn Hobby. Had been here a long time. He and Pete Murdoch had they gone into business together yet? I think they had a hardware there on the corner.
Yeah, they had an appliance store and hardware.
And there was a little Piggly Wiggly up there, wasn't it?
In the same store. Yeah.
In that building where the clock is now, where they have the bath.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But it was a wonderful community. And we moved into Russell Hills, which was like McGregor Downs. It was the only development, new development that they had ever had in Cary. And when we moved, we had three children. We had twins and Tom, but they were, Tom was not quite two, and the twins were not quite one. So, I guess three. I guess it was Tom almost three, Wayne?
Well, he was born in 52, and this is 50.
I guess he was almost six, three.
Six or four, I think. Yeah. More. He was born in 53. He came in 56.
He was born in.
So three, he was 3 years old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was almost three.
Almost three.
And then you had
their birthdays were in October, so we moved in September.
Almost three.
And then you had 1 year-old twins as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So well, we had our hands full.
Yes, you did. Wow.
We found the house on Ann Street. We were with three bedrooms, and so we were tickled with that, a nice big lot.
And is that this same house?
No.
No.
We built this house in 63.
Oh, okay.
Because we had more children.
Oh, okay.
We had two more children after we moved to Cary.
Oh, wow.
And when we had the fourth child, we had a porta crib in the bedroom, and we had to move him into the living room. One morning I went in to get him, and a package of cigarettes had fallen out of Wayne's pocket, and he chewed them up, and I said, this baby's going to have his own bedroom. So this is when we bought this land out here and built this house in 63.
Oh,
and then when we came here, we had another baby.
Oh, boy.
And we had our youngest, who lives in Cary now. He's an electrical engineer, has two granddaughters. So, did you see my wonderful picture over there?
Oh, look at that. Oh, that's beautiful.
So those two, those on three, the right side are Sydney's children, and then Tom, the oldest one, is
Oh, isn't that
Claire.
Beautiful? So with three beautiful little girls. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So we had lots of children, but this was a beautiful spot back here to raise children, because even nothing was back there. We had to ride out through tobacco fields, and it was out in the country, if you can believe that.
So here we are right behind Barnes & Noble,
yes,
near the mall,
yes,
and
yes.
You're out right in the middle of nowhere.
And all that land up on Walnut Street's commercial, I'm sure.
Yeah. Wow. So you saw it grow from 2,500 people being out in the country, basically, to what it is today.
140,000.
Hard to imagine, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And no one would have believed that it could happen, really. And in my opinion, it's been done very, very properly. And, you know, the people that ran the town, the mayor and councilman, had foresight. And so they planned a lot of this in advance. So I give them a lot of credit for what happened.
Yeah.
Good. Because things
Fred
like
Bond was one of the
Yeah, Fred Bond was definitely instrumental in the foresight. Because he looked ahead. And they had things like the Cary Parkway on the map about, I'd say, 40 years before it was developed.
Really?
Yeah.
And Maynard Road, too.
Well, Maynard Road was developed, early, about 1959 or 60.
Oh.
Yeah.
So shortly after you got here, they started building Maynard Road?
Right.
Not all
really?
Parts of it.
Yeah, just they started,
About half of it, southern part.
Wow.
It was the Cary Parkway, I'm not sure when it started, but they did it incrementally. They did a mile or two, and then another mile or two, until they finally got over here and crossed U.S. 1. But all that was on the map, that part that hadn't been done. And I'm sure it was when we came here in 1963. and it was probably in the 80s when it was completed down to Hot Springs.
So that's a long time in advance, isn't it? Yeah. Wow. Maybe up to 20 years ahead of time that they were planning it.
Yeah, or more.
Yeah. Wow.
There was one school, one first through the 12th grade. I guess they did have those, they had built some elementary buildings, the first and third along there. But the main part was in, I guess they had 7th through the 12th, in, because our children went to the 7th grade there.
Cary Elementary.
The oldest ones.
On Academy Street.
Yeah.
And let's see, I guess, but now how many schools do we have?
Oh. Yeah, a lot. A lot. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, and
the drugstore grew as Cary grew. We first started, there were 3 stores in that building. You tell her about that one.
Okay, now
well,
where exactly was it?
Into 3 different compartments. And one was the drugstore, one was the
laundromat. Laundromat, and one was an office.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Tom
it's on. It's on Chatham Street.
Yeah.
East Chatham.
Yeah, 120 East Chatham Street.
128.
East.
Okay.
Chatham.
Where that was.
Where
okay.
That Indian store is now.
Oh, okay.
And they say that people still come in there and ask where we are. Are we still in business there?
Oh.
Of course we're not, but they want to find out about it.
Oh, that's great. So now when you left the pharmacy, did you close it down or did you sell it?
Sold it.
You sold it?
Yeah.
Okay.
To brothers who were both pharmacists.
Okay.
The Doves.
Doug and
DeLong. DeLong. Doug and DeLong. DeLong. Dove. DLV.
Oh, Dove.
Dove. They bought it in 1993 and ran it under the name Mitchell's Pharmacy until about 1998, I would guess, about 5 years. And they moved from there out to Prestonwood.
Oh.
And opened where they had bigger quarters.
The prescription moved out there.
Okay. Did they change the name when they moved
to
Preston?
They did. Let's see. About that time when they moved to Prestonwood, maybe a little before, they changed it to Carolina Pharmacy.
Oh. They also had a pharmacy behind the hospital.
Oh.
So they had 3. I think they got too many pharmacies too fast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they all still in operation? Or
no.
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 None of them.
They,
oh, dear.
The one in Prestonwood, they sold it to Carter.
Oh, Carter. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Carl.
Yeah.
And... So that's where it ended up.
I'll be darned. Oh. So it still lives on, even though it's many generations.
In some manner.
Yeah. So
some of the same customers that traded with us go to the car now.
Do they?
That store.
Yeah.
Because they worked there for several years after they sold it to them.
Oh.
So a lot of our customers followed them over there.
Yeah.
They have since left there and working at other places, but some of them still trade there.
Yeah.
Right on, for the reason that they were followed.
Yeah.
Followed the people that promoted them.
That's correct.
And they were, local, independent farms.
So did you see families stick with you from generation to generation over all the years that you were running the pharmacy?
Yes, we had about 3 generations because we were here 37 years, and so we did have the older generation, our age, we had their children, and then we started to have those children.
Some great grandchildren in there too.
Oh, wow.
That's great. And we knew all their names, all the family members, and so it was, we'd always catch up on how everybody was doing when they would come in the stores. So it was like old home week.
Yeah.
And all our customers still say, we've never found a drugstore that we like we did yours, and we don't have anybody we can ask questions and can fill our prescriptions like you could.
Yeah. Oh, that personal service.
He had them spoiled.
Yeah, you
bet. But he was good, and I was the PR person. I would greet the people and talk to them, because we have that arrangement that he would fill a prescription, because you've got to concentrate when you're filling a prescription, and I would do the talking.
So you were the counter, the upfront person, and waited on the customers and all of that. Oh, that's great.
So that worked out well.
So, and you both worked there the whole 37 years?
I worked when the children got older. I'm a school teacher, so I did some substitute teaching, and I soon found that I didn't like to be called at 7:00 in the morning to go teach substitute. So I said, I'm going to go work at the drugstore. So I was general flunky there. Anything that needed done, I could do it. But the prescriptions, I
could. You did a good job on.
And then later on, I had my antiques in part of the drugstore.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I sold antiques there. Antiques in the drugstore, and I had a lot of traffic with that. Enjoyed it. In fact, everybody accused me that I had taken over the whole store and just left Wayne his prescription department back there, which was about the truth.
Yes. Yeah, oh, that's great. So now, when did you get interested in antiques? Because I'm sitting in your beautiful home, and it's absolutely full of the most beautiful antiques.
Well, I didn't when the children were small. When they got older. Actually, we have lost 3 children.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We had 5 children, and we've lost 3 children. And when the first son died, I needed something to keep me busy and occupied, so I got interested in antiques and didn't know what, bought more than I could use in my house. So Wayne said, well, you can put some of them in the drugstore. We'll try some of them. So that's what, and then I really could go wild buying antiques. But it worked out very well. It gave me something to do and satisfied my. And then we lost 2 children in their 20s, and then one child from cancer just how many years ago?
2001.
So that you're not supposed to lose your children, but we've managed to stay busy. And then when I retired, I got into gardening, and Wayne loves to garden too. So.
Yeah, you have an absolutely beautiful garden surrounding your house. It's just beautiful. It's a little paradise out there. You must love walking out your front door in the morning.
Oh, we do. We love it outside. We don't care much for inside.
Where all your antiques are.
Here.
So when we moved the post office out, and I went downstairs in the basement and brought some of my artwork. I used to do oil paintings.
These are your own paintings.
That's a pastel over there by the window.
Oh, those are beautiful.
And this is our barn at our mountain house.
Oh.
The cheese and the still life over there. I had those left. I just had them in the basement. I said, well, why don't I bring these upstairs? And
they're beautiful.
Thank you.
You're very talented.
So I would like to get back to my oil painting. When I get my house, I'm getting rid of my antiques now. So
are you?
I'm taking them to maybe an antique auction gallery.
Oh, okay.
And that's working out very well.
Good. That's good. Is it hard to part with them?
No, because that's my way of downsizing. I'd like to stay in this house, so I need to get rid of clutter and rid of, just get rid of things.
Yeah.
And, so it makes it easier when I have a place to take them to get rid of them. and to sell them.
Yeah.
And antiques are still selling well for me.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, that's good.
That is good. Are you still buying or no?
I buy for things for myself, which I don't really want or need much, but every once in a while I'll see something. Oh, I just have to have it. You know how it is when you buy antiques. You like them too.
I do.
I just have to have something. I'll satisfy myself with that.
Yeah. So, well, it's wonderful. It's really, really beautiful things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot of changes, obviously, and one of the things that changed over those years, I'm sure, is drugs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you started out, there probably weren't that many drugs, were there?
No, and what is really amazing is the price.
Oh.
Of prescription. Then, when we came here, the average price the prescription was about $1.
$1?
That was the average price in about 1956. Now, when we left, the average price was about $30 to $40 per prescription. Now, I'm sure it's over 50 or 60. I don't know, since I'm not in it now.
Yeah.
But it's somewhere between 50 and 100, the average price now.
That's incredible.
And, but, you know, there have been a lot of advances.
Exactly.
Advances in drugs.
So what was available drug-wise when you started?
Not much.
Not much, right?
Well, we had a lot of doctors wrote mixtures where you would mix about three or four different ingredients in the bottle. Shake it up and take it three times a day.
So they were custom made?
About three or four different drugs in the same prescription.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was used to.
So did we have penicillin yet?
Well,
56?
Penicillin came out a long time ago during the war.
Oh, that's right.
After the war, it became commercially available, and then the other antibiotics, oreomycin, acromycin, and all these newer antibiotics.
When did they start? In the early 60s, or
well,
was it before that?
Oreomycin came out about 1949.
Oh, well, that early.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And acromycin came out probably 5 years later. And so those two, and they were new antibiotics. And based on the structure of those chemicals, they have come along with hundreds of antibiotics since then.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and, of course, other things, and, you know, genomics and all that kind of stuff, and the human plasma, everything is different. I mean,
So what did they have for heart disease back then?
Back then.
Very much?
Digitalis.
Digitalis.
Bed rest.
And bed rest.
On the bed rest, so that was really the worst thing they could do. People used to, when you had a heart attack, you didn't move for 2 weeks in the hospital. And then you'd go home and you would move very little for the next 2 weeks. And after that, you didn't get out and walk a mile or 2 miles or anything like that. You just still took it easy. And so people with heart attacks died when they were young, a lot of times. Now they get you out there walking 2 miles a day in 30 minutes and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they found out that it just extends your life years. many years.
Yeah.
So that is a big, big improvement.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other things that have extended the lifespan.
Yeah. Wow.
Exercise, I think, is, and drugs are in there too.
Yeah.
So. Tagamet came out too. That was a big drug, wasn't it?
Tagamet?
Tagamet for the stomach?
Well, that was later. That was I would guess about in the 60s. 65 to 70. That one.
Hmm.
It was innovative, something new. Now we got all the
Then the cholesterol medicine started coming out right before we stopped, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Late 80s?
Yeah, in the 80s and 90s.
Well, the first one, it's sand, or what was that prescription?
Well, we tried everything to lower the cholesterol.
But what did they was like, I remember you putting those like buckets of sand.
They thought that this sand-like product would absorb some of the cholesterol when it was ingested into the body, into the stomach. And maybe it did, I don't know, I doubt it, but that was the theory.
So is this sand substance in a pill form, or?
Oh yeah, in a capsule.
A capsule?
Some of it was in take a spoonful and mix it with water and drink it.
I remember it was a fairly big tin of stuff.
Yeah. I never
about that high and about that round.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Plop it up there on the counter and I thought, oh, those poor people having to take that.
Yeah, I guess they mixed it with water, didn't they? Some other thing.
How long was that on the market?
Oh, that wasn't used that long. three or four years, maybe five. It wasn't used that much.
Okay.
It didn't do that.
And Valium came out. I remember when Valium came out. When was that?
That was about 19, in the late 60s.
Uh-huh.
Late 50s?
60s.
Yeah. That was overused for many years, I think.
And birth control pills came out about the same time.
Yeah, mid-60s. Changed a whole lot of things.
That's revolutionary.
Yeah, absolutely. And they were so strong in the beginning, the birth control pills.
And prophylactics, I know you're not going to put this in the article. We used to keep those in the back.
Oh, did you?
And people would never ask me for them.
They would just ask me to
wait. Put them in a little bag and always put merchandise. When we would charge it, we had a big charge service that a lot of the young people liked, especially when they had a lot of sick children, you know, that it was nice to be able to charge.
Oh.
And Wayne would open accounts for people, and they appreciated that.
Yeah, so you were carrying your own credit.
Most of our customers charge.
Yeah.
Okay. So this wasn't their own credit card. This was a credit account
that
you carried.
No credit card.
Before credit cards.
Well, I think they were out then, maybe.
Very seldom
used.
Just mailed them a statement once a month.
Okay. Wow. How long did you do that?
Till we closed.
Really?
Yeah.
We were still charging.
Yeah.
Were you?
We had a lot. That was a big thing to get out. 1 week, you know, get all those bills out, add them up and get them out.
A lot of paperwork for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we did a lot of insurance. Insurance became a big thing. When?
I guess in the 70s and 80s it started. Before then, nobody had insurance. Not many people had insurance. The state employees were first.
Yeah.
School teachers.
Yeah.
So forth. They had the state plan. And so we filled out forms for them so they could collect. Long time ago, back in the 60s, probably.
So it wasn't until the 70s or so that insurance became more readily available for people?
It started in about the 70s, I'd say, insurance.
Wow, yeah.
And it kept getting bigger and bigger and more complicated. Now everybody has an insurance premium that pays for their drugs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Most people, not everybody.
Actually, it was bad for an independent because you know the other stores can get their medicine cheaper, and plus the insurance companies would say, "Tell us what we had to sell it for." They set the price, didn't they? Wayne, how much?
Well, they gave you, they set the copay, which determined how much profit we made.
Oh wow.
That hurt then.
Well, it wasn't too much, but it was more worthwhile.
Hopefully, you never lost money on a prescription because of the insurance company.
Well,
probably did.
Not often, but anyhow.
Okay. Wow.
It was still good to have because it was people who would keep coming back to you.
But we lost some of our good customers if their insurance would change. You know, they'd have to change with that, go to that store that offered it, because every store didn't offer everything. It got so you almost had to stay in business. But the insurance started becoming very important, and I think it's become more important.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that was very time-consuming and labor-intensive to keep up with the insurance.
Well, we did it for our customers, too. We would fill in their forms with the prescription they'd gotten for the month, and that was a nice personal service, too.
Well, I can see why your customers were loyal to you forever.
Yeah, they were loyal.
Yeah. We tried to do everything we could to help them.
Yeah.
Make them well.
Now, did you have a soda fountain?
Yeah.
You did?
We did, until Gene got into the antique business.
Oh.
Closed it then.
And for a while we kept it, but it was an old fountain, and it was, it was about to go. And we mostly served ice cream and Coca-Cola's, and we didn't serve food. Nabs and candy and...
Things like that.
So we needed the space for my antiques,
right.
So the fountain came out.
Oh. Oops. Yeah. Now, we interviewed the Seegers, Fred Seeger and Marie Seeger, and Fred worked for you, I think, didn't he?
Did he for a while? He probably did.
No, I was in the Lions Club with him.
Oh, okay. Okay, now he talked about Lacey Gilbert.
Yeah.
Now, was Lacey an employee of yours?
No, but he ran that drugstore.
Your drugstore?
It opened in 1950.
Okay.
Yeah, this is history that I didn't get into.
Okay. So the Franklins?
Lacey Gilbert ran it for... his name from. He was a legislator.
Oh.
Who married the girl of Bedingfield's daughter. What was his name? I got to figure out his name. He opened the store in that building in 1950.
Oh,
and
okay.
I don't know. Well, I don't know what he named it. Something like the Cherry Pharmacy or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure. It might have been his name. But Lacey Gilbert was in school with me.
Oh.
Pharmacy school.
Oh.
And when he got out, he ran this drugstore that Hicks, I believe, was his name. Hicks. I can't think of it. I got I don't know who would know that because they've all he's still living, I think, as a lived down in Hope Mills.
Lacey Gilbert?
Hope Mills. He lives in Hope Mills. And he may have died, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He might have, because he was getting on up in years. Well, I'll think of it one of these days.
Okay.
Or I'll get somebody knows. I'm trying to figure out who. Call Jim or
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Anyway, so then did Mr. Franklin buy this?
Lacey Gilbert ran it for Mr. I'll call him Hicks. I'm not sure it was Hicks. I think it was.
Okay.
And Hicks was a member of the state legislature.
Oh, okay.
He was in the. Get the House of Representatives.
Oh.
He was in politics.
Okay.
But he also ran this opened the drugstore, and in that spot, and I believe it was 1950, might have been 51, but 1950 was called. And he ran that for about five years, I'd say.
Okay.
3 or 4 years.
Okay.
But it didn't do too well, I think. And so he sold it. To Franklin.
Oh.
Kenneth Franklin.
Okay.
And his wife is the one we bought it from.
So.
That was in 1957. So that's the real history of it. I forgot about that part of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who told you about that?
Fred Seeger.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he worked, I think he was a soda fountain jerk, and he worked for Lacey Gilbert.
Yeah,
and he talked about how all the high school kids, Fred was still in high school, but he talked about how all the kids would come from the high school and after school to get sodas or whatever.
They did that to our store too.
Yeah.
Did they?
Until Ashworth came, and then it got diluted.
You split up the kids?
Yeah.
Fred, what's his last name?
Seeger? Fred and Marie Seeger?
What's her name? Kay Mann's sister, isn't that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Fred. That's right.
Okay.
Kay Mann's sister and her husband is married to Fred. I mean, her husband is Fred, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen them in years.
I know, we saw them at the beach, I think.
That's right. We saw them at the Ramada Inn.
And Kenneth Franklin also ran a drugstore in the Carolina Hotel, didn't he? Call it Carolina Pharmacy because he had a hotel, had a pharmacy right by the hotel, or what was the history on that?
Well, that's not pertaining to Terry, but Kenneth Franklin, the one that did own it, and it was named Franklin's Carolina Pharmacy.
Okay.
He ran the Carolina Pharmacy in the professional building in Raleigh.
Oh, okay.
The professional building was the building back then, professional, where all the doctors were on Fayetteville Street.
Oh, okay.
Real close to the courthouse.
Okay, so all the doctors had their offices?
All the doctors were in professional buildings.
Okay.
And so he opened a drugstore, Carolina Pharmacy, on the bottom floor. And I believe it might have been in the Sir Walter Hotel.
Well, I'm thinking it was.
I believe it was. They're right together.
Oh, okay.
And I believe his drugstore was in the next to the lobby of Sir Walter Hotel. That's where Carolina Pharmacy started. And then he left that and moved it to Cary. And it was still Franklin's Carolina Pharmacy. And that was the name of it when we purchased.
Okay.
But then we changed it to Mrs. Pharmacy.
Okay.
And Wayne used to have really long hours. I mean, he would open at 8:30 and work till 9:30.
Every day, or every weekday, and Saturdays?
Sunday afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Finally, they started alternating Sundays.
Ashworth.
Oh, you traded up?
When I was one son in Elmer in the afternoon.
Okay.
So that helped.
But one thing that we didn't get clear was that when those three stores were in that building, as this town grew, Wayne took in the second store, knocked the wall out, took in the second store, and grew more, so he took out the third wall, the second wall, to be two walls in that three store, and knocked that out so that the whole building was one big store, like it is now.
Where the India store is now.
So he remodeled twice.
Wow.
To,
so he kept expanding.
Big enough for the, and he kept a well-stocked prescription. He had always had the latest thing, because a lot of them would borrow from him, because they knew, they said, go to Mitchell's Pharmacy, because they'll have it, he'll have it.
Wow. And you carried a lot of over-the-counter drugs and that kind of thing as well?
Not too many over-the-counter, no.
No.
This is back in the prescription department.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He kept up with all that.
So with the prescription department and then the soda fountain, what else did you sell before you brought in the antiques? What else did you sell in the store?
We had front items,
yeah.
And cosmetics.
Candy.
Oh, yeah.
Candy was a big item. Whitman's candy.
Oh, yeah. Valentine was a big day.
Yeah.
We wrapped.
We were the only people between Raleigh and Apex that sold Whitman's candy. So we Valentine's Day. Like
beautiful
that.
Red hearts.
Yeah, that were big old hearts.
And those men would come up there and would buy that. That's all they'd buy, you know. Then we would wrap them with fancy paper and put a ribbon on them. That was a big day.
Yeah.
And Christmas we used to sell a lot of candy, too. And we...
Toys. We had toys.
Toys.
And we had a section of toys.
Yeah.
It was sort of like a small department, but we didn't have things like they do now, like the big drug stores do. I think they have more, they're more of a general store than...
Baby items and clothes and all kinds of things.
We had a little baby department.
Did you? Yeah. And cosmetics and...
Yeah.
Yeah, like they do now.
And the regular drug store.
Yeah.
And our boys worked. They started working usually when they were about 14 in the drugstore.
Oh, really?
Did
any of them become pharmacists?
None of them became pharmacists. They saw how hard they worked and what long hours. But it would be nice to mention the names of our children since they grew up here.
Yeah, please.
Our oldest is Thomas Wayne Jr., Tom.
Uh-huh.
And he lives in Amsterdam.
Wow.
He's an international corporate lawyer for Baker McKenzie.
Wow.
And he's a big shot.
I guess so. No.
And he has two children, Claire and Michael. And then the three children that we have lost are the twins, Jess and Jim. And...
They were both boys?
Sam.
Yeah, all boys.
All boys.
Oh, all five of them were boys. Oh, wow.
Five boys.
But I finally got some granddaughters. And then Sydney Mitchell lives in Cary. And he's an electrical engineer. And I guess we should put Sydney and Renee, his wife, Sydney and Renee.
Well, this is about Cary. Not the Mitchell family.
But that's an important part of Cary. I mean, they grew up here, and they have two granddaughters, Victoria and Caroline, who are at Cary High now.
Are they? Wow, that's quite a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
I guess not.
So you can see why I didn't collect antiques till I got older. Five boys bouncing around.
Breaking everything.
Yes, I soon learned, you know, don't worry about something breaks, it's broken, it's gone.
Yeah. Oh.
That was no big deal. But,
yeah.
Let's see, what else about the drugstore could we mention that?
What about the doctors? When you first arrived here, there were probably very few, right? And you saw that grow.
So there were two doctors when we came. Dr. William H. Bland. And Dr. Yarbrough. What was his birth name?
I can't remember. Was Dr. Hunter
Frank.
Practicing one?
Frank.
Was it Paul Yarbrough?
I think it was Frank.
Frank Yarbrough. Frank Yarbrough.
Okay.
How did you know that?
Oh, I interviewed his son.
Have you interviewed Frank?
Yeah, John. John.
John had you really?
Yeah, John Yarbrough, yeah.
So you've interviewed John.
Yeah, and he's a pharmacist now.
Yeah, he has
diabetes mostly, doesn't he?
He's up in Virginia.
Oh, you're talking about Frank. John is Frank's
John's
brother.
Up in Virginia, and he's a pharmacist up there.
Yeah, both of them are pharmacists, Frank and John.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He lives in Virginia, in Richmond. Let's see, Richmond, Petersburg.
Yeah, somewhere
Richmond.
Up there.
Yeah,
I'll be doing. So there were just the two doctors.
That was it.
And they were both general practitioners.
General practice.
Okay.
That's right.
Wow. And then you saw that grow, I'm sure.
Right, right. But it stayed the same. As a matter of fact, it was reduced because Dr. Yarbrough died in October of 1957.
Oh, my.
During the flu epidemic of 1956, October, the year after we came. He was there 1 year and he died. And so we only had one doctor.